I'm actually an alien, bro.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I came to talk to you guys on the podcast about that. No, this is my first podcast back. Welcome back, CultureCast. I'm sure everyone's fucking be like, they're going to see this video and be like, fuck that guy. He said he was going to make podcasts every Thursday, and he lied. So, number one, I have to apologize to everyone who was watching the podcast before, everyone who was enjoying the podcast, and everyone who was hating the podcast. I fucked up, okay? Are you on me? I fucked up. It's my bad, you know?
It's unacceptable,
yeah.
To be frank.
But I have a fucking special guest today who I've known about for a very long time, and I'm actually shocked, and I always talk to him every time I see him. I'm like, why are you not making more content, man? People want more content from you. He's kind of like, you became like an urban legend, low-key.
Urban legend.
Maybe not urban legend, maybe an internet legend, which is a good thing. So go ahead and introduce yourself to the people who don't know.
Well, my name is David Lade. I am from New Jersey, and I've been doing, I guess you could say, you know, fitness, YouTube, things like that for, you know, ever since I was maybe 16, 17 years old, and now I'm 22. And you said that, you know, you've known about me for a little bit. And when I was really young, when I was maybe, I don't know, anywhere between 10 and 14 years old, that's when I was just very, very heavily into like YouTube fitness. Like me and like a few close friends, like we knew everything. We watched, you know, the Hodge twins, you, Chris Jones. I don't know if you remember him.
Just, of course.
You know, even like some Scooby stuff and, you know, six pack shortcuts, all of that. And
man,
it's pretty interesting. It's kind of cool, you know, sitting here with you now doing a podcast when I was, you know, younger, watching like a lot of your content and stuff. And so
it's interesting to me though, because I've known about you for years. Like young as you are, 22, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have been around the fitness industry for a very, very long time, like an extremely long time. Where like I could say the guys that I knew from the beginning of like kind of coming up in the industry, like you were one of them. But at that time, you were like 17 years old. You must have been.
Yeah. No, I mean, the whole reason I even got into like working out in general was because, you know, before people hit puberty, before guys hit puberty, they're all like, you know, relatively skinny and stuff. Yeah. So it's normal. But for me, I was slightly taller on average and my waist was just so tiny and my limbs were so long. So I looked like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. Like, it just looked disgusting.
Like who?
Gollum, Smeagol.
Oh, from Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
All emaciated. The rings. Yeah, it was terrible. But yes, I mean, so I was just, you know, really, really insecure about that. Then one day I just hit a breaking point where I was like, okay, I'm in a position where it's either curl in the fetal position and die or do something about it. So I decided to do something about it and I, you know, started exercising, lifting weights. And I guess you could say some of the core people that I really looked up to the most would have been like, Z's was definitely up there. Because I know it's interesting for me when it comes to Z's, because when I knew about Z's, I was, what, 13 years old? So I'm like young, immature kid. I'm like idolizing him like he's this god. I'm subscribing to his religion, etc. But it's interesting, you know, getting older now, you know, getting a understanding how, you know, someone that's older and more mature would perceive Z's and just like how like reckless and out of his mind he was. But yeah, so, you know, I just started working out very, very passionately, very intensely. And I would, you know, take a lot of pictures, document my progress. And then I was maybe a sophomore in high school, 15, 16 years old, and I used to play ice hockey when I was younger. Then I actually stopped because I was so passionate about fitness. I wanted to, you know, devote all my time into that. But then one time I just recreation went out to go skating with some of my friends, and then it was like a 2-hour public skate, and then towards the very end, before the Zamboni was about to go on the ice, clean everything up, one of the employees that worked there nonchalantly was like, yo, like, you want to race? And of course my ego was like, yeah, absolutely, let's race. So we're on the red line, 3-2-1 go, skating full speed, massive strides. And then when I get to the red line, I took a stride that was just a little bit too big, and I just heard a pop, fell directly to the ground. Went to the ER afterwards. Long story short, I realized that I broke my bone. It's actually a bone called the lesser trochanter. There's only like 33 people in the world that have gotten
lesser,
that injury.
Lesser trochanter?
Lesser trochanter. It's like at the top of the humerus, the ball. Mm-hmm. Like my muscle like ripped off like a quarter-sized piece of it, which was very, very strange. But because of that, I was essentially bedridden for like a month and a half. It took me like 15 minutes to like squandle over to the bathroom. That was like 15 minutes away. And after, you know, after I beat all my video games, just sat there in complete boredom. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a transformation video because like, why the fuck not?
Okay.
So then the template that I decided to make it off of was Z's transformation video, because like some fan-made transformation video existed of him online, which is picture, 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 kind of hardstyle music.
Yeah.
So I did that. Just out of complete boredom, didn't, you know, have any expectations or goals from it whatsoever. I uploaded it, and then over maybe one or two years, it was slowly accumulating views. And by the time I was about to be a senior in high school, it had like a few million views. I was like, oh, holy shit, this is pretty cool. Right. Then I had an idea. I was like, you know what? This video got really, really good views. I've made a substantial amount of progress since then. And I've gotten way, way, way better pictures. I could make another transformation video that'll be way better than that one. And I could use copyright-free music so I could actually monetize the video, maybe make some money from it. And then I could take the money I made from that video and then, you know, maybe get some camera equipment and then, you know, do something vaguely resembling a YouTube channel like the people that I was up to.
Watching.
Yeah.
Let me take it back though. You said something before you explained really the story, something I thought was significant. At one point in your life, you said you were really skinny and had really long limbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said you started getting into working out.
Mm-hmm.
But you said something I found interesting, like you decided you wanted to change that.
Mm-hmm.
What made you believe that you could change that at that age? Because that's the interesting thing that I think about. Knowing some more, but we'll probably get into a little bit later on this podcast, knowing a little bit more about you and your mm-hmm. personal life. What like drove you to actually make it? Because a lot of people don't like the way they look. A lot of people don't like the way they feel in their own skin. A lot of people don't like a lot of shit about themselves. But they don't always change it because it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like what made you be like, okay, this is how I look. I don't want to look like this. I'm going to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what made you actually do it?
Well, it's interesting. I actually remember the specific point. I mean, there was a lot of just accumulation of, you know, bullying, smug remarks, things like that, that I just, you know, that I absorbed over time from other people's communication with me. Then I would just feel worse and worse and worse about it over time. But it was my friend saying, I was at the ice rink again, funny enough, and he was like, you know what, you're so skinny, you eat a cheeseburger, just do something like that. And I don't know why, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And then in terms of your question, like what made me actually have the, you know, core belief that I could actually initiate a transformation was, I guess my personality type was, if I'm really, really interested in something and I want to do something, I'm going to do it all out, like unapologetically, full-blown passionately. And I kind of did that with, you know, I was into magic tricks when I was younger. I'd maybe make like some like little video editing skits with my friends, just roughly speaking, things that I was interested in. I kind of went all out, and other things I would just almost completely neglect. So when I went home and I just like typed in, the first thing I did, I went on YouTube, I type in home chest workout, because I was like, okay, you know, chest probably, you know, reasonable thing to grow, you know, get me out of my,
of course we need to grow
yeah
the chest.
Exactly, chest very important. So then I watched like a Mike Chang six-pack shortcuts video, like some push-ups, towels, this, that. And then those first few home workouts that I had in my home gym, I mean, like at home, literally in my room, were probably the most intense workouts in my entire life. And because I was so skinny, so low body fat, I saw results like relatively quickly. Because when you're that skinny, you even get a pump, like you gain like half a gram of muscle, like you can notice it right away. So I think it was noticing those subtle changes really, really quickly, instantly became hooked and addicted. So that's one thing that I could definitely say to a lot of people, that if you haven't worked out whatsoever, haven't trained in any way, shape or form, and you see all these people that are just so passionate training so frequently, so intensely, and they look like they love it, and you just can't put yourself in their shoes and can't understand just how they can enjoy this so much, is because you haven't tasted it, right? So you might try for like a few weeks or a few months and you're working out, you're not enjoying it whatsoever, you don't feel good, you don't really look good. It's just like, why the fuck would I continue? This just like sucks. But if you, that's the most crucial thing to overcome, because if you just have patience throughout that point, and then you get to the point where you actually see yourself looking different, like this, you know, little subtleties, maybe some vascularity, you're fuller in your shirt, you look leaner, like you feel better, you have more confidence. Once you start getting the teeniest glimmer, the tiniest taste of that, that's it, you're done. You no longer have to worry about
motivation. It's hard for a lot of people to get to that point, because like they'll mount tons of reasons why they can't do certain things, or they'll say, oh, I did this for a week, or I did this for a month, it didn't work, I did this. And they bounce around from a lot of different things and don't really like go full force towards something. So that's the thing that I thought was interesting. You said it, and I was trying to figure out like what actually made you believe that you could make that change beyond just like your buddy like said the last straw. Like you believed in yourself enough to be like, because you said your personality, right, about you're going to go full force and then you might be really great at those things but shitty at other things. Like I completely relate to that. I understand that. Where do you think you like got that from, that you knew that you needed to do that in order to like get what you wanted from it? Like the all or nothing mentality, kind of. Like, I'm going to go 100% on this.
I mean, I guess a reasonable amount of that could be put down to, I guess, just my temperament, my personality. But it was just kind of how I was just saying previously, once I got a small taste of what I could look like, what I was hooked, then I could, you know, conceptualize the end goal, however many years in the long run that would be. And then I just absolutely fell in love with the journey of like getting there and just wanted to put in all the hard work to essentially get to that point. And I mean, I understood earlier on that it's going to take like a really, really long time.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go, but I wanted to do it. But it, I mean, in a sense, it was like, it was just a massive goal to overcome. And I feel like that's another very, very, very important feel. Like, I feel like a lot of people that are, you know, dissatisfied, depressed, just unhappy in their lives in general is that they don't have a goal to strive for. Purpose. So I could say this, like when I was in high school, I was absolutely like broke. Like I had no money. Like I didn't have, like, I was just like, just an average, you know, regular kid. But because I had a goal that was so like grand, just working towards that goal just gave me just
what was that goal?
It's actually interesting because, like I said, before I even got into weightlifting, like I would, you know, I did like magic for a little bit. I was like really into like, you know, the card stuff. And I was like pretty good at it. I was like passionate about
it. You still do it?
Yeah, I could still do it. Yeah. But people would ask me, oh, do you want to be like a magician when you grow up? This is that. I'd be like, oh, like, nah, like not really. Yeah. Like, and I played ice hockey since I was like in second grade. And I was like pretty good at that. And then people, oh, you want to go to NHL? This, that. I'm like, oh, I mean, I'm decent at it. But like, I just, no, like not really. But I don't know what it was. When I caught that fitness bug, I was like, it was just the most deepest in my soul. Like, I know this is exactly what I'm going to do. I don't know exactly where it's going to end, but this is the thing that I want to do.
Like, exactly how I felt.
Yeah. It was an overwhelming sense of just clarity.
And what you said, I think is really important for people listening too. You didn't know exactly how it was going to like progress to where you are now and with the things you have now, things you've accomplished now, but you knew it was for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think it's really hard to find that for people. Cause like maybe people are afraid to like really push it towards whether it's fitness or like what they really want to go after in life. Like, let's say someone's like, man, I really want to like be an artist or I really want to be a musician, but like they never take that first step to see, like you said earlier, that little bit of progress. Somehow, like maybe you make a song and it's trash and you make another song and it's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like you see the progress of the painting, same thing. Physically fitness is the same. Like if you're going towards some sort of physique goal,
mm-hmm.
it's just a different brushstroke. But to get to where you want to go, to see that progress, I think a lot of people are afraid to like just fucking start.
Yeah.
So my question to you, and obviously I have a personal answer for this as well, but like what really set you off? Like besides that point where your buddy was like, yo, you're fucking small, eat a cheeseburger. Like what really got you started in fitness? Like beyond just, you're like, I like this working out stuff. Like was it used to, like what did it do for you mentally? Because obviously everything is.
I think at a much, much, much deeper level, I think that, for example, like, I don't think many people know this whatsoever. I mean, maybe a small amount of people know, but my father, he actually passed away when I was 3 years old. I was born in Europe, you know, during the Soviet Union era. And so my dad passed away, long story short, when I was three. It was an unfortunate accident. And I personally, I don't really have much, you know, I don't have any like vivid memories, really any memories of him whatsoever. And then my mom essentially was like, okay, you know, I'm a single mom now. I'm in the Soviet Union, like not the best situation. I'm going to, you know, go to America for, you know, entrepreneurial reasons. It just seems, you know, the good move to do. So, you know, move to America and stuff. And, you know, I've had like a stepdad and all that stuff, but it's, you know, it's really not the same as having like your true like biological father. So I feel like in me, you know, the fragmented / missing father figure in my life probably played a role in making me more insecure than I otherwise would have been given my physiological state of affairs in terms of my skinniness or whatever, right? So maybe if there was like that, you know, fatherly masculine encouragement in the background, then I would have, you know, been, you know, more, I mean, less psychologically dissatisfied with, you know, how I looked. So I think that me wanting to get into weightlifting wasn't just me, you know, being generically insecure about how I look, but it was also an outlet for a fatherly type of energy. Because if you're missing like a father figure as a guy, you're going to want to seek that out. You're going to need to get your fix somehow. If you don't have the father there, you're going to find other ways to get that. So I feel like for a lot of young guys, including myself, it was all these fitness icons, the internet, because it's like shattered, scattered pieces of like, masculinity, essentially, like for physique, strength, it's all symbols for all that. So I feel like that's why on average I was more predisposed to that, you know, type of fitnessy stuff, as opposed to someone that maybe had like a very traditional nuclear family upbringing. And I think that was definitely an outlet to, you know, I guess, I don't know, develop masculinity or, you know, get in tune with the archetypal father energy.
It's so crazy, man, because I remember this happened to me without social media. Like, because I grew up without my father. My father took his life when I was 6 years old. I've told this story a lot of times on podcasts. Mm-hmm. He hung himself. Long story short, my life from then to now is obviously very different. I learned so much along the way. And it's interesting. I didn't know that. Like, I didn't know this about you until I talked to you in the gym about it the other day. And I was like, wow. Like, I immediately like felt like I connected with you differently on like a really dope level. And the thing that's crazy, what you said, I 100% relate to the desire for some sort of a father figure. I remember it started when I was younger with my friends, because my friends, they're dads, and I would like hang around my friends, and I remember even thinking like in my head, like, oh man, I wish I had my dad like that. Mm-hmm. And even like going to graduation and just doing certain things where, like, you know, you'd see your friend's dad doing something with him and me being like, fuck, I wish I had that. See that person like kind of like be proud of me to do something. So it's funny how you said the fitness icons were like your version of that. Mm-hmm. It happened to me because YouTube wasn't a thing when I was like 17 years old, 18 years old, right? Mm-hmm. It came when I was like 23, 24. A lot of people started doing it. And I had the same experience though with like coaches, friends, and people in the gym that I worked out with. Like, once I was in that atmosphere, I was in the gym and I'm like training with a guy who's like 34. My buddy, I should fucking call him or something, but his name is Chad. He's from Pacifica, from my hometown. And this guy was like the first person that I like was consistently with who was older and had that masculine energy, who was like teaching me like, yo, this is what you do in the gym. And then have conversations about, obviously, like, you know, in the gym about so many other things. Mm-hmm. That before that point in my life, I never had anyone to have those conversations with. And shit, bro. Sorry, I'm a pussy. You didn't cry. I'm over here crying like a bitch. But I remember feeling and being like, whoa, I've been looking for this my whole life. And that's the That's the thing that, like, I can genuinely say that has like propelled me when I started seeing, obviously not necessarily results, but as I started growing in the fitness community and the industry, and I would see like people's comments about like the first videos I would do where I would stand by like dumpsters and shit and like talk shit at like Gold's Gym and like talk about my life and what I've been through and just saying, fuck it, this is what's in my heart, this is what's in my soul, this is like who I am. And then seeing the response, people being like, wow, I needed that. And I felt like, I didn't know it right away, I would see and be like, wow, that's really cool. And then I kind of told you the other day, when I started going to expos and then seeing people tell me these stories, the same kind of comments they were saying in person about like, yo, you said this, you shared that, you told me about that, or even like you helped me with like some fitness shit and I needed that. Like, and these people who would come to support me and I would see them like decked out in the gear, I'd be like, they were always saying the same, like along the same lines, obviously different stories because they're from all different walks of life. But that was a thing that like, I can say I'm so fucking grateful now in my life that I've been able to experience that. But it's crazy because you, like, to me, you're already there. Even at 17, you were there. Like, you were already getting there. Like, people were looking up to you as a figure in the industry where they were like, yo, I want that. I want what that guy's physique. I want this. Right. Mm-hmm. And now it's interesting now how you're at 22 years old where, now you're like filming a podcast. This might even be on your podcast channel. And you like, from me talking to you, even just the short amount of time we have, very, very smart individual, very understanding, or trying to understand himself as well, with just from our conversations. And I think you have a lot of really good shit that you're going to be able to give and teach people like now and for a long time. Cause like, as big as you've been on social media for years, like, you're still 22 years old and you still have so much farther to go. And I didn't realize like really what was giving me purpose in my life until like it hit me when I was like 26. But it took a long time to put into perspective to you guys listening, like, that pain that I dealt with when I was a kid and like constant searching for like, I want validation. I felt like I needed validation. I felt like for like the things that I was doing, was I good enough? Was it good? Like, was I on the right track? Am I being a good person? Like, I needed validation for these things that I was never, I would get it here and there, like I said, from those figures. And then letting go of the resentment that I had of like, am I not good enough? Right. So those two things went hand in hand my whole life and kind of like drove me to try and be a better version of myself. And then it took me years and years and years to realize it. And looking back, I'm like, holy shit, like, this is that shitty thing that happened to me when I was 6 years old was exactly what was supposed to happen to me so that I could be here, like, even having this conversation with you.
Yeah.
Fuck. And and it's dope that I love it that you're so young and you're like, you're already on that path where like you can give that to someone who like might be looking for physique inspiration, physique advice, but also being able to speak to someone. And that's why when I first talked to you, I remember talking to you for a little bit and being like, why don't you make more content? Because like, this is the kind of content, whether it's on your podcast channel or your YouTube channel, that people need more of. Like you said, you were looking for that like masculine, fatherly energy, that figure like that, something that you weren't growing up with in the way that like you felt like you needed. Mm-hmm. And now you have an opportunity to be that for millions of fucking people.
And I think, you know, relatively recently, am I actually starting to fully become consciously aware of that?
Yeah.
So for the longest time, I'm almost was just operating on autopilot, just not realizing that, oh, because I'm not consciously, you know, articulate and aware of the fact, okay, missing father figure, therefore I look up to, you know, fitness, and that's why I'm like, I'm doing this. I'm just like doing it because I'm just on autopilot doing it, yeah. Right? And sometimes it'd be like confused, like, what's the point? Like, why am I even doing all this? But I feel like recently, you know, really coming to in a concrete of understanding of that, kind of what we just talked about, I just, you know, on a deeper core level, just feel like the urge and like responsibility to, you know, wield that power and influence in a positive direction. And that's why I kind of, in a sense, almost like look up to you, like in that sense, because I was very vaguely familiar with your circumstance with your father and what yeah. happened. And I mean, I got a little bit more details from talking to you in the past few days, but I do think that as unfortunate and tragic of a event that was with you, that, you know, that ended up having a good magical outcome. Cause I could like sense that you, because of that lack of that fatherly energy, you've essentially over time accumulated it, and like you've become that symbol to like radiate and prosper and give it to everyone else. So in the sense of you like training people, like you, like we were talking about this in the gym the other day, for example, like a lot of people that are, you know, doing, you know, social media or just even just any people in general, you're just aware of, you know, how important integrating fitness in that person's life
for sure.
is like actually is. And you can make in like, of course you're doing it because, you know, it's, you know, good content and it's like smart to do in that sense, but you could tell that it's actually like deeper from that. There's, it comes from a, like an air, like a feeling of like actual, like care and like compassion, like wanting to improve those people's health, like those, yeah. those lives and give them that energy. So I do think that it's very, very important that you're doing that. It's a very, very good thing. And I feel like, especially like nowadays, cause I feel like just masculinity in general is kind yeah. of, you know, I don't want to say under assault, but it's definitely, you know, weaker and not as strong as it like used to be in the past. And like, yeah. there's like many, many kids, you know, children growing up in fatherless homes, like dad's, you know, not present, you know, maybe alcoholics. Like it's like, it's super fucking common. I yeah. feel like a lot of people maybe don't really realize just how much of a problem it is. Yeah. So it's just really important to, you know, uphold that energy.
Yeah. And so I have a quick question, kind of like a side note. How is your relationship with your mom?
My relationship with my mom is actually, it's really good. Like, yeah. It's interesting. As I get older, I'm able to look back at different things and just analyze, you know, her life and my dynamic with her over time. And I'll, you know, as I grow older, more mature, I can look at it through, you know, different lenses. And, you know, all things considered, I think that she was an absolute champ because, you know, like she moved to the United States essentially, you know, to, you know, give me a potentially better life. So she, you know, long story short, without getting into any intense detail, she's made an overwhelming amount of sacrifices for me to have as good of a life as I possibly can. So for that, I'm infinitely grateful. Like, I think that yeah. she did a really good job.
The reason why I asked you is because like my mom, obviously, like, she had to deal with the love of her life dying at the same time trying to deal with, raising two kids, myself and my brother. And I think it's really, you didn't know I had a brother?
I had no idea you had a brother.
The way you looked at me. Yeah, I got a brother. He's a hippie. He's a hippie. Oh, sorry, Andrew. He is kind of, he lives in a van.
Okay.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's sometimes 2 years, sometimes 1 year older than me. Depends on the time of year. He's born in December.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I just think it's interesting. And the reason why I asked you, because like, I wonder, because you talk about the, you know, obviously the fatherly figure, the fatherly energy, like the masculinity. You obviously got... And I'm asking you, really, did you get enough of the feminine energy from your mom? Like, because I for sure, I know that I did. Like the love and the care, mm-hmm. I got so much of this energy. Obviously, fathers love and care about you too, guys. I'm not saying like masculinity.
They yeah, they're both very different, but both very vital.
Yeah. So I was curious of that because like I think I got a lot of that, and I also think at the same time I got a lot of because this is the one thing that I think is really interesting about not having the fatherly energy when like I was very young. And I maybe I took it this way. I from my mom, I never got a lot of like, this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Right. So
it's actually interesting because, so my mom, I believe she gave me, you know, sufficient, you know, feminine energy was fine in that regard, but she had to, because she knows that my father figure is, you know, absent. So she has to overcompensate and instill like some like kind of masculine values in the sense. And she did as good of a job as she could, but it's just not the same because she's not a man. Right. For so sure. There's a lot of women, like a lot of moms that, you know, unconsciously try to instill some masculine virtues in their children because they know the father situations are absent or missing or whatever. Right. And it's a very, very noble, good effort, but it's just simply not the same as having actual like males around, which is why like things like the gym, camaraderie, coaches, you know, like sports, coaches, mentors, sports, all those things are like absolutely vital. Like you need that.
Yeah.
Like it is essential.
And so I had a lot of that, but I also, it's crazy because I look back at my life, a thing that I try and remind myself or encourage other people, like at the same time as like crazy as it could sound or like maybe like not self sadness or anything, but like because I didn't have that father figure at the same time, like I kind of was directionless, and it was, you could be take it as a bad thing and also a good thing because no one kind of told me this is what you need to do. At the same time, even though I kind of wanted that direction, because no one told me this is what I needed to do or I had to do this or I gotta be this way, I developed like kind of just uniquely to myself, almost like without like, cause like, you know, if you grow up and you have a dad who's like, you gotta get this job and then you gotta do this and then this is the steps you're gonna take and you go to this college, like you might have that more like that more demanding energy of like what you should do with your life from your parents, a lot of times enforced by a father figure. I didn't have that. So I think a large part of me at the time, even though like I needed it, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time, because I was able to be like, well, I want to do this. And that's
very interesting that you say that, because I could see that in myself a lot as well. Because, for example, because I was predominantly raised by my mom. So if you look at what the father figure does, it kind of instills, you know, boundaries and like discipline in a sense. And, you know, the motherly, the feminine energy is much more soothing. It gives way. It's more nurturing, compassionate, and empathetic and stuff. So when my mom would see me, you know, be like passionate about certain things or want to do certain things, she'd be like, oh, like he's passionate about that. I'm going to, you know, let him do that. Like if he doesn't like go to bed on time, if he doesn't clean his room, if he doesn't uphold with these, you know, little like duties, it's, she's not going to interfere with that because she's going to let me do the thing that I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
But which is a blessing and a curse. And it's a blessing because I could unapologetically get into the things that I want to get into and that uniquely develop my own personality. But at the same time, it's a curse because there's a fine line that should be drawn somewhere with like certain like duties, things you should or shouldn't do where the masculine role, you know, comes in and does. And so, I mean, that's kind of what got me like into like magic, like videography, like lifting and stuff. But, what was I going to get back to?
No, well, you said something earlier that I thought was interesting. You were talking about how you got good at certain things and not good at other
things.
Yeah,
for example, I could like, this is what I was going to say. So
yeah, go ahead.
You said that you felt, you know, roughly speaking, just directionless. Like you had, you know, you mean unique talents, abilities, passions, intelligence, but you just, you know, didn't really know which way to pave because there was
I was just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to like, in that kind of, in a way answers your question of like, why am I not as like active on social media or whatever? Because from a certain viewpoint, I'm like, I understand. Okay. I know everything I need to do. I know how the algorithm works. I know what people like to see. I know like I could, if I really, you know, decided to, I could just succeed in social media in that isolated hierarchy to an exponentially high degree. But like a part of me is like, why am I doing this? Like exactly. Like why, like what's the point? Cause I'm just like unsure. So for me, you know, do something and do it properly. There has to be that base of like, just passion and like a way to like go down essentially and like a reason that I'm doing it. Right. So I feel like that's kind of explains a lot of my, you know, apprehensiveness to make sufficiently, you know, content or like show up on social media in a certain way. But that's how it's changing in a sense recently, because I am getting more of a solidified understanding, a lot of it coming to do with, you know, my like responsibility to help, you know, guys out in general, kind of how you, so yeah, that's definitely the case. But yeah, yeah, like you were saying, like really good at certain things, terrible at it. Like there's things that I'm like shuffling cards, little shit. Like I'm so fucking good at that. But then just other, you know, very basic elementary human things. Yeah, I'm just shit.
No, I completely relate. That's why I want to talk about it. And that's why I'm talking about the fatherly energy, the motherly energy. Like you learn certain things, certain like traits or certain like ways to be with other people. I'm not even talking about just like, you know, an action like playing a sport, or like, I'm talking about like interacting with other people socially, like relationship wise, all these different things that I know for sure it took me years, and I'm still learning how to be like good in a relationship with a woman. Like, I have a fucking terrible time sometimes with like trust and all these things that are like deeply like tied up to my fucking past that like I've been constantly trying to work through, because I was more focused on other things in my life at trying to like be successful at them or trying to be good at whatever, right? And I was never really great at addressing or like going head first at those things. And like, bro, I mean, I was telling you, I had a fucking 8-year relationship that like I fucking destroyed. You know, I destroyed from the beginning because I was so afraid. Like, after I got into a relationship prior to her, and it was like I had this form of attachment where I was like, I feel like I love this person. And looking back now, it was just as like, I didn't want to let go because I was so afraid of loss, because I didn't want to deal with loss, because I was dealing with it my whole life. Like, I was afraid to really love. And then when I really loved and it was the wrong person, then they're like gone. You're like, oh, I'm heartbroken. And then I found the girl that I actually really love. And then I was playing both sides of the fence. This is the 8-year girl. And I was playing both sides of the fence. So there's a girl prior who was like, I love her, and she broke my heart. And I was so sad. I was calling my mom every day crying, saying like, oh, why is this? And if I just did that, it would be like this. And if I didn't do this, and it could be like that. And this is all in retrospect. Like, you never see it in the moment. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, and then I met a girl who's like this amazing person, like just got out of like a bad relationship where she had trust issues, has some like father stuff. Like, there's a lot of stuff. But I came into it being like, well, I don't want to get hurt anymore because I was just hurt. But like, I like this person. Let me play both sides of the fence and like kind of be here, but like not really be here, because I'm going to protect myself. And so it's like flirt with other girls and do all the shit that, like, man, I tell you, 8 years later, like right now sitting here in front of you today, like, I regret doing that. Mm-hmm. I did it because I thought I needed to do it to protect myself. And the number one thing that it taught me was like, if you live based on like what you've been through constantly, if you're just living on what you've been through, you're not really going to see much change in your life. Like, in any sense, if you're like, if you base all your decisions off of just what you've been through, like in sort of like, without being like, okay, I've been through this, what did I learn? Just like, I've been through this, now I'm here. I've been through that, now I'm here. I've been through that, now I'm here. The difference I'm saying is like, I've been through that. Like, what happened to me? Like, who am I now? What did I learn? How did I get better? How did I get worse? And I didn't realize that until it's too late. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't realize that until you're like, I'm looking back 8 years and I'm like, fuck, man. Like, I see exactly what I did wrong. And it's like, and then you get to a point in that person, with that person, depending on their own like life, where at when they mature and understand what they really want, or like when they're, you know, because like, you understand, you learn what you want, you learn what you don't want. Like, you learn that more and more through the experiences. But if you're not looking at the experiences for what they are and trying to understand those things, you have a much harder time making like a concrete decision and like moving forward. And you kind of live like, you know, they talk about relationships where people have them, and then it's like you have a relationship with a girl, and then it's like it didn't work out because of this, and then you find another girl, and then it didn't work out because of like the same kind of thing, and then it didn't work out because of the same thing. Yeah. Because they're not really addressing what the fuck is going on with them.
Yeah, well, it's almost a little unfair to say that, oh, like you like found out too late or whatever, because the way that people behave in their, you know, intersexual dynamics in their relationships with, you know, the opposite gender, you know, romantic relationships, it literally comes down to, you know, how they were raised in their family, right? Yeah. Just like subconscious programming. Even when the child is in the womb, like when you're literally a baby in your mom's stomach, just the way that you, the mother and the father are acting, there's like weird metaphysical intuitions that the children's the like getting and like built, learning, yeah, and building and all that. So, you know, nowadays, like the likelihood of someone having a completely normal, traditional, healthy nuclear family upbringing is extremely low. Almost everyone has like issues. It's just simply the case. And yeah, no one's really aware of exactly what's wrong. They're running on autopilot. They're getting into relationships. They're unhappy. They, you know, they break up, they move on to the next one. And there's like this recurring theme, yeah, right? So it's obviously, it's important to stop and, you know, analyze your behavior, try to, you know, get a pattern going and just like look in and try to figure out, you know, why you're doing what you're doing. But it's normal, healthy, and almost okay, at least I believe, to make those mistakes. Because if you wouldn't make those mistakes, you wouldn't know what's, you know, initially wrong. But just, if you don't address those situations and you just keep, you know, going on all, it's almost more comfortable to continue dysfunctional, unhealthy relationships, as painful as they may be. It's almost more enjoyable and easier to do that than address, you know, the serious issues at hand, because yeah, that requires, you know, pain, introspection, growth, etc.
So perfect, right? 100% facts. My question to you, just I want to see what your opinion is on this based on just your fucking life and 22 years old from that perspective, why do you think it is so much more difficult to do that than like go order a fucking sandwich? Like, why are people so afraid of that?
Go order a what? Like a food?
Go order a sandwich. Like, you can decide, like, you might have a hard time being like, do I want this or do I want that? It's something simple, right? That you'd be like, that should seem simple, when obviously this is not simple. Mm-hmm. But why do you think people are afraid of it? Because that's what it comes down to. People are afraid of dealing with that deep internal, that deep seated thing that's like makes you, that drives you or pushes you this way or pushes you that way. People are afraid of it. Why do you think they're afraid of it from your perspective?
Well, two reasons, I guess. One, because generically speaking, anything that's uncomfortable, you'd rather do something else. This goes back to what we were saying initially when it comes to fitness, right? Why would I want to go through all this work of building my body, eating this way, going to the gym when I could just order this in and out, blah, 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 this, that, right? So just generically speaking, you know, things that are enjoyable, valuable, worth having in life, they require work and difficulty to get to, because that's just simply how it is. But two, it's also pretty hard, like in the sense, because it's so subconscious, the way that you're acting, you don't understand. So it almost requires like a profound psychedelic experience, like going to therapy consistently or just like sitting in meditation for a long period of time, you know, trying to work things out. So even once you like decide that, you know, you want to figure out what's going on, it's still like, it's as much work as it is building a body and going to the gym, like, like therapy talk, like, it's difficult.
It's hard.
It's very hard. And I'm not sitting here, I fucking have all my shit figured out by any means. I'm still on, which is crazy, bro.
Like, you know, what's so crazy, man. I remember being a fucking kid, legit being like 17, 18, 19, 22. But even more so when I was younger, like 12, 14, and being like looking at to like 22 year olds and like 30 year olds and be like, these motherfuckers understand it, man. Mm-hmm. Like, they know it. They know what they're doing. Like, they got the cars. They just bought a house. And I remember growing up and being like, damn, when I'm there, like, I'm going to understand too. And now I'm here at 31. Like, I'm still trying to fucking figure my life out. Like, I have obviously my life is much, much different now. And like, I can move differently because of all the things that I've been able to create or bring into my life. But at the same time, like, you still consistently find yourself being like, well, what do I really want to do? Like, now, like, what's really pushing me? What's driving? What's making me passionate? Like, what's making me like who I am right now today? And it's never always the same thing. I mean, there might be a core value, like a core belief, but like you're constantly evolving and constantly changing. I think that's important to tell people listening, because like a lot of people at times be like, I just don't know what I want to do. And I'm going to ask you a question after this, but I always, because people would talk to me and I would always have this conversation with people when I met them in person, like at expos or whatever, at the gym, they come say what up. And they'd be like, how did you figure out what you wanted to do? Like, how did you get to like do fitness? And my best advice to everyone, anyone listening, is like, just do things you think you like and do things that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be like, okay, I like working out, so I need to make money. Like, that's not the right mindset to have. Like, just try and figure out what you what really makes you happy when you do it, and try and do it and try and be better at it and try and be better at it. And then at some point there may be an opportunity, maybe like, oh, I might be able to monetize this. But a lot of people start it this way. They're like, oh, I want to make money. I see you doing it. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think yielding into your instincts is very, very important in calibrating like your internal compass in that regard. But yeah, for example, like for me, when it came to fitness, I was just so passionate about it. Like I said, I didn't have any predetermined outcome of, you know, being a fitness influencer, whatever that means. That wasn't even like a conception or a term back in the day, but I just followed my gut and I arrived in a certain position. But I feel like what a lot of people do is they'll see, okay, this person behaved in this way, they did this thing, these things, and they achieved this high level in this particular dominant hierarchy, right? How could I, in the most like Machiavellianly sociopathic way, reverse engineer what they did to get to their position? Because I think that if I arrive in their position, I will be happy, satisfied, fulfilled, etc., right? Then you'll have a lot of people doing that. They'll like get to that point. They're like, fuck, I'm like not happy. So it's really, I mean, it's tricky. It's like, it's seductively tempting to almost like want to do that sometimes, but it's not the right path to go down, because like what you do should come from a place of kind of like authenticity, in the sense that I feel like in a way almost the more concrete and clear your vision of what you want to do it, and like I don't know, that's the right way to put it. It's important to do some, like you have to, the things that you do, like to be like fulfilled, like for example, like fame, money, success, whatever, that should be like, this, you know, we all know, it should be like a byproduct of like doing what you love. The people that like put the form before the ladder, however you put it, you know, chase all that. Like, yeah. they'll get there, and they won't be that happy. But other people will perceive them as happy, and they'll know that other people perceive them as happy, so they'll, like, keep pretending like they're happy and, like, feeding off the validation from the people that think that they're happy. But, like, deep at night when they're laying on their pillow, like, fuck, I'm unhappy, but I'm going to continue on fucking.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of people live their lives like that.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people live their lives like that. Yeah. Man. And that's, I think, it, like I say, it's figuring out what you really, like, what you really want to do. Because people would, I dead ass, I mean this, people would hit me up and be like, yo, I want to do what you do. And then they're like, and I'm like, this is the number one question I always ask people. Why? And they go, they go like this. They go, I want to help people. And I say, why? It's not enough.
Yeah.
Oh, cause like, you know, I want good for people. I'm like, why? You know, it's like, and I remember I had this conversation at least 100 fucking times, and I'm always get down to the point. And like, I was like, ask me why I do what I want to do. Ask me why I'm doing what I'm doing. Like what you see me doing. Ask me why. I'd be like, because I'm trying to be a person. I'm trying to be something that I didn't have in my life growing up. I'm trying to be that for another human being. And I could say without a shadow of a doubt, like that is 100% the thing that drives me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying everyone needs to know exactly what that is, like for whatever you're doing. But like, if you know in your heart, if you go, this is why I'm doing it, because it's a good opportunity and I can make money, you can be successful. You can find success. But when you get to that point where you're like, I have the dollars, like you said, are you at night being like, well, I'm really fulfilled? If dollars are the things that really fulfill you, then fine. But you like, I know so many people. I know people with all kinds, billionaires, all this like ridiculous amount of money. And they all are saying the same thing. Everyone says the same thing. Like you could have all the money in the world. That's not going to make you happy. Of course, I want everyone listening to fucking pursue their goals, financial goals, dreams, get a nice house, get a nice car, have all those amazing things. But you will realize when you have that, that's not the true thing that's like, oh, I'm fucking happy. And the ironic thing about that is if you live your life in a way that before you have all that, you're able to find happiness, I guarantee you're able to figure out a way to find all that money through that genuine happiness and that mm-hmm. genuine purpose. And then if you're able to, like, I can honestly say, like, I am so fucking happy with the way my life has gone. All the bad shit, all the negative shit that I've gone through on the internet, all the shit that I've gone through in my personal life, all the shit I've gone through in my relationships, my fucked up the 8-year relationship, my father taking his life, and all the moments in between that I was like, fucking heartbreak, all these thoughts of like, you know, I don't want to go there, but like depression and all these different things where we're like, this is shit, to now where I'm at, being able to have this conversation with you and just even share this shit with everyone listening, I wouldn't change a fucking thing. Mm-hmm. And it's very, I'm not saying it's easy to get there, because like everyone define their way to get there is like very unique to them and their timing and their ability to learn or to say, wait, this happened, what can I learn from it? Because a lot of things will happen and you're like, you don't care. It's so bad that like you can't even really begin to process it to learn something from it, because you more like push it away. But when you start to go and look into those things, then you find more and more clarity and more and more clarity in your life. So you start to get a better picture about what's really making you happy and what you really want to do with your life. But if you don't address those things, like I was kind of saying earlier, then it's very hard to figure out what's going to really make me feel fulfilled. And I think that's the most important thing in life, is to try and figure that out. Even if you never figure it out, you need to try to figure it out.
Yeah, like, and kind of what I was like saying before, how I was into magic, good at it. People ask me, you want to do this for a living, or do you want to do this in the future? Is this your passion, the thing you want to do, career, whatever? I'm like, oh, not really. Same thing with hockey. Oh, not really. But with lifting, it was like, yep, this is it. But the reason I even got to this is it like moment was because I tried certain things. So if you don't have that, you know, sense of, you know, direction, passion about something, like what you need to do is to try to do certain exactly. things. You're naturally going to be drawn towards vague genres, categories, things, activities, etc., right? And then you just dabble with them, right? Don't have an algorithm, just do it, right? And then from there it'll take you where you need exactly. to go. But just what you need to do is you just need to do those things. And for some people can get lucky. Some people, the first thing that they do when they're 15 years old, they fall in love with their grade, everything's wonderful, right?
Yeah.
For some people, they could be 40 years old, they could figure it out then. But the point is, regardless of where you are in that position, all you could do is just try things.
That's
and in be able to discern the difference, but like whether you're doing it for, you know, egotistical reasons, or, you know, this is an intrinsic fulfillment type of thing, right? If you lean more towards the intrinsic fulfillment more often than not, and you know, put some repetitions of different things to do in there, you'll arrive like at a happy place. So
for sure, no matter how much you actually have.
Yeah.
But it's ironic to think that the thing that like most people chase, which is the money, like mm-hmm. a lot of people chase, because like I said, I would get messages of people be like, I see you must be doing really well, like I wanted to do that, just literally based off of the money thing. You find those are the people who chase it away, mm-hmm. the people who are chasing the money, like I need to have it, versus like, well, why, like me, the way that I make money, am I feeling happy about it? Mm-hmm. Like, and I could say for sure the way that I've been able to do it, I'm super fucking, like, I honestly, there's a part of me that is a little, not ashamed, but a little bit like, I feel very, very lucky that I was able to figure it out. And I can honestly say without a doubt in my mind, I don't know how I was able to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I was able to, like, get to this point in my life. Besides, obviously, all my experiences, but I don't know what taught me along the way. Like, I remember being a fucking kid, man, like, being, like, 12 years old, walking to school every morning, and, like, fucking stopping, like, halfway to school and, like, going into, like, with a cut, you know, everyone would, like, smoke weed and shit. I don't know if they called it the cut where you're from, but West Coast slang, like Northern California, like, San Francisco slang, like, if you went into, like, where there was, like, the bushes where kids would go into the cut and smoke weed, like, before school, after school, I would go there, like, by myself and, like, cry, like, dead ass, like, just feeling sorry for myself. And then, like, throughout the whole day, I remember thinking, like, I remember always being in my head, like, man, like, what's the point of all this? What's the point of life? Like, what is death? Because I would always be, like, I have anxiety around dying. We kind of talked about it a little bit. But I was always so concerned with, like, what's the point of my life? Like, what's going to make me happy? Why did my dad kill himself? Like, all these questions that, like, you just couldn't fucking answer. I couldn't answer as a kid, but I remember always, man, I'd be doing some shit, like, school, PE class, whatever, history class, doesn't matter, talking to a friend. And I would always have this, like, monologue with the person, like, not a monologue, this dialogue with a person like this. And, like, my brain would be somewhere else over here also thinking, like, this other-ass perspective about, like, almost like an outside, like, what's the purpose of this? Like, who am I? Like, my whole fucking childhood. And it's crazy because, like, I don't know what the fuck did that. Like, something happened to me. Yes, I experienced something that was not great, like, by most people's standards. But for some reason, I was able to figure things out differently. Like, versus my brother, I know, who took it a different way. And, like, you could fucking call me later, whatever, you see this podcast. But I think he took it a lot more negatively and wasn't able to, like, try to make sense. And obviously, I took it negatively as well. But, like, I don't know. Maybe I was trying to make more sense out of it sooner. And because I had all those repetitions, like, from 6 years old, trying to understand, like, what the fuck is going on? And who am I? And what is death? And what does it mean to me? And what is alive? What's the purpose of this? Why am I here? Like, who am I trying to be? Like, I tried to figure that out for so long that maybe now that's why I'm able to sit here and be like, at 31 years old, it kind of starts to make more sense for me. Even though at the same time, I'm still figuring out so much more about myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just want to share that because, like, if you're listening, I'm just fucking grateful, man. I'm grateful to be able to sit across from you and talk to you about where you've been in your life. And I'm really grateful that you seem to be another light that is very rare in this industry that is able to speak and share his like legit consciousness to people without being like afraid. And that's what's needed. We need more of that. 100% we need more of that. Like, I wanted that. I needed that. I wanted to see that. And I'm grateful that I've been able to be that. And I'm really happy that I've been able to sit across this right now and talk to you in the short time that I've ever actually spent, because I knew about you for years and I maybe came across, or we did something, you came to Zoo or some shit at some point, or we had some conversation, but never anything like really meaningful. And I'm grateful that I've been able to share this. And I'm grateful that you're going to be another person at 22 years old, I think, that is going to be able to have a really great impact on a lot of young men that fucking need it. And a lot of men in general that need it. Because people don't talk about this kind of shit. Like, men are not talking about this kind of shit. People who are looked as like these like strong figures are not speaking about this kind of stuff. They're just like, I'm a strong figure. You know, like, for example, no hate, no shade on The Rock, but like, I've never seen The Rock really talk like deeply about certain things. I see him like, yo, I'm the guy. He's the dude. He's the man. I love The Rock. But like, I wish someone like that even would have conversation about like where they've been, what they've been through, like without just being like, yeah, I went through this and I'm here now and it's great. Because everyone could see that and it's great. Like, we all see how great it is. Like, man, that motherfucker, like, he's fucking jacked. He's fucking lean. He's the best fucking movie star in the world doing all these crazy movies and shit. Best is obviously an opinion, right? Don't fucking quote me on that. But like, he was the highest paid actor. He got all these accolades, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like enough of those people are like, and this is not up to them. Like, I can't tell them how to run their business or brand or do whatever the fuck. It's not up to me, right? It's up to them, excuse me. I think, but I do believe that more people should be talking about stuff like this. And I think we're blessed to be in an industry that, like, it is very egotistical driven about how you look. Are you tall? Are you short? You got big muscles? You got a small waist? Are you strong? Can you do these things? Are you athletic? And it's all outside. It's all superficial, right? So I think the people who will be more successful in the years to come are always going to be the people who are able to look inside and say, yeah, I can have all these things. How did I get there? What moved me? What challenged me? What made me better? Like, what obstacles did I have to go through? Like, who am I as a person? And like, and you being able to be one of those people
I think is just fucking incredible. We need more like that. So someone listening who's 16, 17 years old because you love David Lay and you like love his shit, or you're 22 or you're 30, whatever the fuck, or you like my shit, I challenge you and I encourage you to try to look more inside of yourself for the things that really bother you, the things that really make you happy, the things that really make you, and try to understand those things, not just from a perspective of like, if it's bad, I want to avoid it, but why is it bad? Why does it make you feel that way? I challenge you guys to think more deeply, because that's the only thing that I did. I could look back on my life, like I said, that's why I told you guys a story. I was constantly thinking about, who am I? Why does this make me feel this way? And it was, I remember like thinking, do other kids think like this? Are people like, am I fucking weird? Like, what the fuck is going on? Why do I have these thoughts? Why are there so many? Why does it feel like there's so many levels to it? And sometimes very out of control. And yeah, man, it's just cool to have someone 22 years old, like paving a similar path in his own way. And I just think that's beautiful.
Yeah, no, I mean, that means a lot. I appreciate that. And like you said, it's finally about time. Like, we've vaguely known about each other for a while, but I always knew that.
Like seven years or some shit, dude.
Yeah. I knew that we would click very well. So
it's sick. I love it, man. Yeah. So at 22 years old, like, what would you say to people listening who are like 17 years old, 16, they're just getting into like fitness because maybe they know your story a little bit, or they just found their life into fitness. And what would you say to those people that they should not necessarily focus on, but like be open to?
People getting into fitness, if you're, you know, mid-teens, 16, 17, etc. I'm trying to think, because when I was that age, I'm trying to think of the things that I looked up to, saw on social media. Like, Instagram wasn't really a thing. It was just mainly YouTube. But nowadays, you know, you're hit with all these crazy, big, shredded, veiny, strong physiques everywhere and stuff. So you might be, you know, tempted to, you know, just take shortcuts or not, you know, do things properly. I would, just generically speaking, things that I would recommend for someone that age is learn the compound movements, have proper, and that's another thing. Like, for example, that I was like saying this when we were filming a video with you, that a lot of people look up to you as, you know, an icon of fitness, a mentor, someone that's smart about that because you look the part. But there's plenty of people that look the part that have absolutely no clue what they're doing. They just have, they have good genetics. They work really hard. You know, they eat, you know, vaguely and cleanly, and they just look great. But you, like, you Olympic weightlifting background and, you know, powerlifting, that, you know, like what you're doing. So, going back to advice, you know, to give to someone, you know, just starting out from like, you know, a physical standpoint, you know, learn the movements, learn them with proper form. You know, everyone's heard this many times, like, keep your ego like at the door, like in check, make sure your form's on point, get on like a program, right? Like, where you could like track your progress, because the way that you're going to progress is essentially progressive over, whether that be more weight, more reps, more volume. Like, you want to, because a lot of people, they can go in the gym and they can just like train super hard, get a crazy pump and feel like they're working super hard and like, yeah, like I feel great. But the thing is, if you train super intensely like that all the time, you might burn yourself out. You might not be able to have recurring back-to-back workouts at that level of intensity. And you're kind of shooting darts in the dark.
Yeah, you might be wondering why you're doing this.
Yeah.
Like this wavy.
Yeah, there's no linear progression. You're not tracking your progress in the sense. So compound lifts, doing with proper form, get stronger. And give it time and just, you know, be patient. But another thing that I would say is that when I started lifting, I was, you know, ectomorph, super skinny, fast metabolism, poor appetite, right? Yeah. So I would just shove just dirty, dingy, gringy, disgusting foods in my system. And
that was me too.
Yeah.
Not good. Not a smart one.
I mean,
you could.
You can get away with it when you're younger. Like, you'll be fine. Like, you'll still be healthy. You'll be good. But recently, I've really changed my diet to just being much, much, much like healthier. And I've noticed like a ridiculous change, particularly mentally.
Yeah,
like I would look back to like voiceovers when I was like 17 years old training, and I can't even form a sentence like, it's just like terrible. Yeah. So, I mean, if you could do it, if you could, you know, start like, because the reason you get into fitness, you know, is to be a healthier, better, stronger version of yourself, right? If you eat a bunch of shitty, horrible, wretched foods just to get your skeletal muscle to a larger size, you'll look like a healthy, in shape person, but you might not necessarily be the healthiest, right?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's whatever, right? But I personally would suggest doing it like in as healthy way as humanly possible, like eating like clean, which is, this is like a new opinion of mine. Cause before, you came up to me like years ago, and I'm like, McDonald's, Big Mac, shove it down, olive oil, gallons of it a day. Yeah. And now my stance is much more like leaning like towards like the healthier side.
Right.
You can, I mean, if you're just starting out, you're like super skinny or young. Yeah. You can get away with all that, but like long-term for overall health, not even like your aesthetic appeal or how you look, I think it's better to,
there's another side to this though. Remember I told you the other day at the gym, there's another side, dieting too hard.
Oh yeah.
We talk about a few guys at the gym, my personal story. Like there was a point when I was 18 and I was extremely like overdoing everything, overdoing the diet, overdoing the training, because I didn't know what my limits were. But it was at a point where like I ate like no healthy fats. It was like blueberries, oatmeal, chicken, spinach, all this dry. Maybe every once in a while like an egg cooked in like a little bit of olive oil, and that's like, that was like my diet.
Mm-hmm.
And like broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point where I legit could not get my dick hard at 18 years old because I went too hard. Because I didn't have an understanding. So like you're saying about learning the basic stuff of nutrition, that is so fucking essential, man. Like even if you don't need to know like the crazy degrees of like what it should or shouldn't be like. After I experienced like not being able to get my dick hard at 18 years old, I was like, holy fuck, what is wrong with me? That's also when I learned a fuck ton about nutrition. I got so enamored with it because I was like, I want my dick to work.
Yeah.
I mean, so I learned.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good example. Like people that eat like too clean, that's like way too far on that end of the spectrum. You get a situation like you were probably eating like generic bodybuilder, like Tupperware container. I was probably rice. Eating like
1200 calories a day.
Yeah. Like 7 grams of fat tops. Like
if that,
yeah. For example, a lot of people, like if they want to get like lean or shredded, like, oh, like, you know, like lower fat, because fat sounds, it's fat. It's fat on my, you know, fat.
It doesn't
fat.
Work that way.
It
guys.
Doesn't work that way. Yeah. Fat is absolutely essential for hormone production, just like long, like sustained energy. Like it's very, very crucial. Like if you're dieting, I mean, at least probably at least 50, 60 grams of fat, like at least, like, so just don't worry about putting your fats down too low.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, you know, a lot of people, like I know people that are, you know, they're like lean, they have a good amount of muscle, they have like some good tone on them, they look good, but they want to get bigger. And they're always complaining, like, why am I not getting bigger? And I keep telling them, like, listen, like, you got to up the calories. Like, you have to, you know, temporarily put up with being maybe slightly more fluffier than you would prefer.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's what it's going to have to take to get to that point. So if you're working out and you're a male and you're between the ages of 13 and 50, right? If your libido isn't like sufficient, like if you're not waking up with like morning wood, like relatively consistently have a healthy sex drive, that is a problem. You need to go reverse engineer to look at the diet and you need to fix that. Yeah. It's probably a caloric issue. Like if you're eating too little calories, that's a problem, or like a fat intake thing. Or if, you know, if that doesn't cover it, I would definitely like see a doctor, nutrition, something like that, but you need to get that sorted out.
Yeah, for sure. That was a crazy time in my life. But like I said, that's because it happened to me like literally, like I couldn't, like I had a girlfriend. I was like, oh fuck. Very embarrassing moments, and I was forced to learn. So I'm encouraging you guys, don't force yourselves to learn. Just, it's really simple. Like, pick up like a basic nutrition book and just learn the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see how what protein is essential for, what carbohydrates are essential for, and what fat is essential for.
Yeah. I mean, we can give a very brief breakdown now. Like, you have your caloric maintenance, how many calories a day to maintain your weight. You eat more than that, you'll gain weight. You eat less than that, you lose weight.
Simple.
But when it comes to your body composition, aka muscle to fat ratio, that goes down to your macronutrient breakdown, which is fat, protein, carb. Fat, 9 grams of calorie, right? Carbs, 9 grams? Yeah. One gram is 9 calories. Carbs, 1 gram is 4 calories. Yeah. Protein, 1 gram is 4 calories.
Yeah.
Protein builds the muscle. Carbs, generically speaking, gives you that energy, like, you know, gets uptaken as glucose in the muscle.
Yep.
And fat, long sustained energy, like hormone production and stuff. So when you're leaning, you want to eat a little bit more protein. And then when you're like, it's funny because when you're bulking, the more calories you eat, the less protein is actually vital. So you can maybe get like a gram of pound body weight.
Because the other nutrients are making the protein last a little bit longer. Like it goes, stretches a little bit further.
Yeah. So, I mean, just broadly speaking, caloric intake dictates your body weight. Macronutrient ratios dictate
your body
composition.
Because this is a big one. People are going to be like, I know people watching this, they probably click on this like for any reason. Right away is like, they always go, how do I gain weight? I know you've heard that thousands of fucking times. And
it's
you're like,
it's a math problem.
It is.
Yeah.
Literally a math problem and consistency with it. And that's it.
All of them
eat
people
more.
Like come up like at an expo or whatever, like, how do you gain weight? I've been researching. Yeah. I've been thinking about
bro,
it.
Bro, I've been here
reading
for years.
Ancient scripts and just like seeking therapists and everything. How do I do it? I'm like,
hieroglyphs aren't going to tell you. It's like, bro.
Literally, like, yeah.
You just eat more.
It's
more consistent.
Like, whatever you're eating, if that's not gaining weight, it's by definition not enough. So you eat more.
Yeah.
Still not gaining weight. Guess what? eat more. Oh, now exactly. You're gaining weight. Boom, done.
Perfect. And then you could start to play around with how much, like, depending on how you start to look. Like, are you getting a little bit too soft? But you can't be like, okay, now I'm getting soft, I'm going to cut all this out and be like, I still want to gain weight. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. So, people get caught up in it. And that's probably the most asked question I've had over the last fucking 8 years of anything, like 10 years of this shit. The last 10 years, people ask me, I eat so much, but I don't gain weight. I always tell them the same thing. You're not eating enough, period. Yeah. Like, there's no way around that, guys. I wanted to touch on that. Is there anything fitness wise or anything you wanted to ask me, fitness related questions?
I'm trying, like,
what around are like your, diets and shit.
What are your, like, maybe it's more personal question to you, but what are your like fitness goals now? Do you essentially just want to be, because I remember you saying that, yeah, like, you'll maybe like at your peak you'll be like maybe 270, 275, 265, something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, it's nice being that big. You're all big, powerful, strong, living all this stuff, but like it doesn't necessarily like feel like your moment to moment experience in life isn't that like pleasant. So you were saying that you want to, you know, lean down, maybe get more into like fighting, yeah, agile, yeah, yeah, healthier.
I my biggest was like 275 and I was like huge, and there was a point where I was just kind of like, I don't feel comfortable. I felt really fucking strong.
Mm-hmm.
But like basic shit was kind of like cumbersome where I'm like, I'd rather just stay at home. I don't want to go here. I don't want to walk. Right. Basic shit. That's like, I shouldn't feel like that. So normally I hang around like 260, which I feel great. Lately I've been like 255 in the morning, like 260 at night after all my meals. I want to get to somewhere around like 245, 240, 235 at my leanest. And I would love to get into some more like combat sports stuff for sure. Like, cause you see all these YouTube stuff. Like I would love to do it. Like, I know that I have the dedication needed to get good at a sport. I'm not sitting here telling you guys like I'm a professional boxer, a MMA fighter. Like, I'm not that. Obviously you guys know that. But I do know I have what it takes if I was like, okay, this is exactly what I want to do, to put my mind towards it, to be better at it for sure.
I think that if you were to enter that space in any way, shape or form, you'd be extremely successful, because like, one, no matter what weight you cut down on, you have just such a base of muscle and strength that like you're good. And two, you're very, very athletic. So with the weight and strength that you, muscle and strength that you have, you could use it in the most optimal fashion possible because of your, you know, proper, you know, Olympic weightlifting back and weightlifting back. And right. When you're lifting weights in the gym, you're not just brood muscle lifting it up. Like, your technique is as good as it can be. And then you're complementing that with the amount of contractile tissue you have to lift as much as possible. So with your athleticism and with your, you know, because I know that once you get into it, you're going to be like obsessed with it, want to do it as good as possible. Like, yeah, you would be.
Especially if I was going to actually fight, man. Especially if I was going to really fight, like, especially like a YouTuber. But I always run into the same thing. There's no one who's like the same weight.
I don't think anyone wants to fight you.
Yeah, that too, maybe. I like to poke them a little bit to see, because all at the same time, like, I couldn't make a video, because I know I could make a video and be like, fuck you Jake Paul, or fuck you Logan, or fuck you whoever the fuck is doing this, Austin McBroom, whatever. But if I made a video did that, they'd be like, you're a bully, you know, because you're too big. Yeah. So I have to like find my way in there where it's like, where I had to get myself called out and be like, I could do it.
Yeah, maybe. You have to play the long game, kind of drop a few shells, provoke, kind of play and get them to say it and then react the proper way.
Because, like, I want to do it. I do really want to do it. I have been training more, like, I've been training judo. I've been training more, like, combat stuff. But I do want to, like, get into that realm a little bit more. I do know I'd have to practice more boxing, obviously, and more wrestling. Because, to be honest, I don't know if I'd really like to do, I mean, when I say boxing, more stand-up and then more, like, floor work. I would rather, I think if I were to pick one, wrestling. Do MMA. I'd rather. MMA. Yeah. So obviously I'd like to use my whole body in that. Right. Mm-hmm. Especially if I'm going to put like my name and all the shit on the line. Like, I like to be, I don't want to be in a boxing ring and being like, fuck, I just can't hit this motherfucker, you know? Cause like, I'd be in there like, all right, I'm going to tackle him and hit him in the face. Like, if I couldn't hit someone, I would like to be able to use my other assets and like make it a real fight. Especially if I'm going to fucking fight. I want to like really fight. I don't want to.
But that's interesting how like a lot of like, you know, social media celebrities are now, we're like actually, you know, going into combative sports and training to a high caliber and performing to like a massive audience. Like, do you feel like there's gonna be like a lot more of that? It's gonna transition to MMA. There's gonna be a whole league dedicated.
That'd be
to
sick. Like, remember
media?
You remember? Someone said this today. You remember Celebrity Deathmatch?
No.
Oh my god. Yes, because I'm so fucking old. Sorry. So Celebrity Deathmatch was like these little clay figurines that like they would have like celebrities at the time that were popping. This one's been on MTV or some shit. I don't know, which is like dead now. But like, imagine little clay figurines that they shot and they made them like in like a WWE like arena, like kill each other, like in this little, like, obviously we're not killing each other, but like, imagine, you know, like claymation type shit filmed in, but it's like little small, like must have been painstakingly long to film, but like exactly. Yeah. But they would like, you know, it'd be like Tyson versus someone, and he would like bite the head off or some crazy, but it's like a little cartoonish. Mm-hmm. And so that's funny because like I think it is not going to go towards killing each other, obviously, but I think a lot more like celebrities might get into it, like specifically social media celebrities.
Mm-hmm. But if anything, like I know like a lot of people like can hold the viewpoint of like, oh, it's disrespecting the true sport because you're having these like amateur people like that have a lot of attention, like fighting, and it's like, it's, you know, almost degrading and disrespecting the sport. Like I could understand that viewpoint, but at the same time, like, to go through that, to eat, like, okay, it's like take like a, like Logan Paul, whoever like he fought recently. Obviously, if they went into like a real arena with real boxers, they would get destroyed. But like what they went through to get to the level of competence and skill that they are, that was like a huge, huge yeah. transformative progress. And I'm sure a lot of people are now inspired to maybe do a combative sport.
And, like, I mean, and it's that. Brought a lot more eyes to it.
Yeah, exactly. It's brought more eyes to it as well. But I don't know. It could be, it could definitely be a cool thing. But it's interesting, like noticing how that's becoming like more like, popular.
What about you? You gonna see you gonna fight?
I don't know. We're the same height, right?
Oh, let's fucking go. I love it, dude. I would love it.
You just got to give me 30 pounds.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, then it'd be a good-ass fucking fight. Damn. Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, it's like I definitely see myself doing more of that because, like, it's just when I start to train those things, I'm like, whoa, I love this. Like, I loved weightlifting the first time I started doing it. And that's what I was like, maybe I need to do more of this because it's the same thing. Like, we were talking earlier about follow things that you're loving. Like, genuinely, when I was – when I'm doing the BJJ stuff, like no, specifically no gi, I like it without the gi because with the gi, I need to learn way more. Mm-hmm. With no gi, it's just like if we wrestled right now, I was like, damn, I'm fucking good at this. I like this shit. And I have like these people who are like black belt world champions going to like a fucking thing next week to like get a world championship title who are like, you're fucking good at this. And they're amazing. Like they destroy me, but like they're like, you almost had me though.
Yeah, like for your like complete
but a world champion level of
experience, the fact that you even almost had me, that's saying a lot.
Like one week, you know, like
skill. Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see you being like that. Yeah,
that'd be fuck. I just need to do more of it. And that's
I'm actually getting into it too. So like I'm doing like a little like Muay Thai, like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu now, and like I've like wrestled with like a few people like just here and there like throughout my life, like people that I've actually, you know, that do Jiu-Jitsu and stuff. And
yeah.
I was even like able to like, you know, like pin some of them, or even if I wasn't, like, oh, like, wow, like you're, you know, more competent than I would have initially thought. So now that I'm actually dabbling within a little bit, I just see myself becoming fucking head over heels obsessed with it, how it was with everything else. Cause I just love the,
just the fucking challenge.
Yeah. It's a challenge. And the straight infinite up. Technicalities and just treating it like a chess match.
That's the craziest thing. If you wear a gi, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with a gi is the most technical fucking thing. Like there will be a guy who weighs 160 pounds who could fucking pin you.
Mm-hmm.
I have 260 pounds wrestling a dude. I think the guy Edwin, he's like a world champ guy too. He's down here in Gracie Bar, Tarzan. Anyways, he's really good guy. I think he's 180, but this guy's like a fucking spider, man. Like with the gi on, and wrestling these guys with gis on versus me with like not knowing how to use the gi, it's like night and fucking day. Like if I take the gi off, I can manhandle someone a little bit with my strength, like not for very long because I haven't trained in that right. But these people with the gi are like so technical, where they're putting their hands and how they're moving you is like, and you and me not knowing enough technique wise to how to defend it, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And it's like it's baffling, but because it's so difficult, it makes me like, wait, hold on, I need to figure this out, because like I feel like I could beat you though. Like my ego is like, I can beat you though.
I
should be able to do this. But yeah, man, it's just fucking fun. Like I genuinely love it. And you know, it's cool. So in the gym, you know, that front area where like the couches are when you walk, we're going to build matted area.
I think I've seen you fight a couple people there.
No, like, but that was like, I'm not fighting.
Like I turned my head to it. You literally have Isaiah and like, you're like holding him.
Well, cause he said, I think I can get you. I was like, all right, let's go. So 100%, like I wasn't even trying. I was just defending. And then like, I was like, okay, like let's do it.
That's
and then,
cute.
Yeah. I was like, but he weighs like, how much does Isaiah weigh? 148. Like, this, yeah, like I'm 260.
That's just unfair.
It's silly.
It doesn't, yeah. Even if his technique was false, if he weighs 140, if you just grab him, you're done. It's it.
Yeah. So it's like, that's why there's weight classes in this shit, obviously. But it's fucking fun, man. But in that front area, we're going to get fully matted.
That's
fully
sick.
Matted the whole thing, so you can go in there and fuck around and stretch.
Isn't the place like across from you? Like a
It's like a karate thing, but it's like kids and like class-based stuff. So
I would sledgehammer the wall and acquire.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Well, he'll let us in there every once in a while, but like not super often, because he got to run classes and shit. And like especially now because of COVID, it's like everything's a problem because of COVID. You know,
but it's ridiculous.
COVID is interesting. That's a conversation. That's a whole nother fucking podcast.
That's a separate podcast.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, anything else you want to ask?
No, I feel like we covered a good amount in this podcast.
And I got
to
piss,
sure.
You know?
Yeah, I got to pee too.
Fuck, I got to pee so bad. But I appreciate you coming, man. I appreciate you being here for real. And like I said earlier, man, keep being like, at least I see this in you being that light for fucking guys, man, and keep using your voice. Obviously, you got a great physique, fucking tall dude, amazing fucking structure, like muscles looking look great, right? But you have a lot more to you than that. And always remember to give that, because like all this shit at some point fades. But like that shit in here is always needed, is always necessary. So keep that shit up, man. I love you,
appreciate
bro.
Appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Cool. I got to piss. I'm fucking out.